Next is a conversation between His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and two priests, recorded on June 15, 1976, in Detroit, Michigan.
In our Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse, find out. Jisham tu antagatam papam jaralam punyakarmanam ti chanda maha nirmukta bhajanti maan jirambhata. Those who are addicted to sinful life, they cannot understand them. So therefore, we have to stop sinful activities. If you keep them in sinful activities, and if you expect that God will be revealed to them, it is not possible.
Yes, I would certainly agree, if no contradiction. I think it's very, very important. We do not see you in competition at all.
No, there is no competition.
We rejoice when we see people turning to the Lord God, wherever it may be and however it may be. Do you have the passage there?
Yes. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination.
Yes, we too see sin as an obstacle to communication and relationship with the Lord God. In fact, we define sin as that which separates us from the friendship of God. Certainly agree with that.
We have to teach people how to refrain from sinful activities. Then, when it's pure, then God will be. If we keep them in sinful life, at the same time we want to please them, it will not be possible. The Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that those who are animal killers, they cannot understand about God. Vinaya pasodhana. So, even the human society, the unnecessary animal killing is encouraged, they will never be able to understand what is going on. The greatest sinful activity, pasodhana. So,
many of the early writers.
In human society, unnecessarily, the animal killing is going on. So they are entangled in sinful activities, therefore they are unable to understand what is God.
Are you speaking specifically about all animal killing, Your Excellency, or you speak of animal killing? In other words, vegetarian living, is that what you're speaking of?
No. Animal means the four-legged animals. Vegetal are not called animals.
No, but as I say...
Even in dictionary.
Does the group live a vegetarian life without any meat? Is that what you
I see that. That's a basic principle of your way of life. You're not eating any meat. Any flesh.
I think there is no hard work here. The second camp, it is said, Nidvitta tarsai bhogiya mana bhavau sadi chotrono virama ka uttamasloko gunanu vadat virajyati puman vina pasogna. The glorification of the Lord is done by the liberated person. It is so nice, glorification of the Lord. So who can refrain from the glorification of the Lord unless he is an animal being? It is said.
The origin of the group, who was the original founder, Your Excellency? The original founder of the group.
Which group?
this group, Krishna.
You
founded it
in 1966.
And you utilized the traditions and of Oriental, especially
books,
of Indian origin.
You're presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is.
So that this is a collection of the ancient writings as well as modern writings that can reflect the way of life.
All basic literature. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Of what kind of literature?
Vedic.
Vedas means knowledge.
This comes out of a Hindu tradition.
Here in this Bhagavad Gita, it is ordered that a human society must be divided into four divisions, and they should cooperate for understanding God. Just like in our body, there is the head, there is the arm, there is the belly, and there is the leg. So they are all cooperating for maintaining the body.
Yes.
Although head is very important than the leg, but leg is also equal. Simply head will not be able to keep the body in good condition.
Yes, our St. Paul uses that very imagery in his epistle to the Corinthians, 10th chapter. Yes.
So that is mentioned in this book.
Yes.
So head means first class intelligence.
Yes.
The class of man.
How about people who aren't first class intelligence? People, as you mentioned, the foolish.
No, this would be trained.
No, I mean the foolish. We have
a foolish man, just like a foolish child, can be trained up to be very nicely educated to pass an examination. Child is all children are foolish. There is exception. But by training, we can make them the first-class intelligent men.
Training and discipline is a very important aspect
that
of your
training is one thing, as a Kuruji.
Yes, I think that's, I would agree, that the willingness of
there
man,
is
modern
no
man,
is training to qualify a person to become first-class. There is no training.
I'm thinking of the retarded, the mongoloid, the encephalitis, those who are born with...
Nobody is born intelligent, that is not right.
No, I understand. But, see, it mentions in there that... I'm thinking, what message do you have for the parents of a child?
I would train them first class.
No, this is a retarded
a child that is
walk.
Born handicapped, intellectually. Intellectually handicapped.
Cannot walk nor talk.
Well, that is another, that is exceptional. Generally, anyone is born according to Vedic civilization, everyone is born fourth class. When he takes his birth, it is to be accepted in the fourth class. Now by training, you can make him first class, second class, third class. By birth, everyone is fourth class.
I saw a film of a leader of ours, Jean Vanier, from Canada and France. He took 5,000 retarded in Spanish we say desamparados to Rome just for an experience, and they were all in wheelchairs, old and young and small ones, not understanding very much, but a wonderful experience for them, the weak and the the weak and the wounded.
Not one priest took many handicapped people who...
Now, why are you speaking of a handicap? Why are you taking the handicap? Handicap is handicap.
Yes.
our program for them is also like this, to give them spiritual
food. But apart from that, we shall deal with the handicap later on.
That's my
first of all,
point.
We change the general people.
No, but you were saying that you speak, you're looking for the intelligent.
I am talking that anyone can be elevated to the intellectual platform by training, not the handicapped. Handicapped, there are special cases, that is another thing. Generally,
but
everyone is born fourth class. It is to be understood. But by training such people, you can make the division first class, second class, third class.
I think we certainly would have no quarrel with that. But I think Father's concern is, what is your message for, what is your attitude toward those who are handicapped in our society? How do you respond? How do you treat those?
Handicapped, suppose your hand is cut, so I cannot bring another hand to join. It is not possible. Suppose your hand is cut.
Yes.
Handicapped. So can I join any other hand? Is it possible?
No, but you
then
can.
Then what is the use of?
No, my point is that if a child would be born
talking that both were handicapped, by nature defective, we shall deal with them, that's all.
How? How do you deal with them? That's my question.
How you are dealing? You cannot. I told you just that if your hand is cut, is it possible for me to add another hand in your body?
No, but what?
Then you are unable. You have to accept it. But as far as possible, you can give them help. That is not the question. Question is, those who are not handicapped, they are rotting without education, without enlightenment. They are keeping themselves as fourth class, fifth class men. Why not train them to become first class men? That is the problem. If one is blind, you cannot give him eyes. If one is lame, you cannot give him legs. That is beyond your ability. That is another thing. We shall deal with them later on. First of all, those who are born as human beings, why should you keep them as third class, fourth class men?
So this is a development. Saint Ignatius did the same, somewhat. When he began, he sought the leadership, and he sought the intelligent, so that they might do what obviously you do also, seeking a leadership that can then teach. We call it sometimes elitism, and this is perhaps a good word for it.
You find out the verse, Sattva Samadhamma Tripitsa, the qualification of Brahmana. Here it is meant, the first class, second class, third class, fourth class. Yes.
Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmins work.
This is first class. Again, repeat that.
Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge and religiousness.
So why they should not be educated to become first-class man on this basis?
That's right.
I would agree that that is a worthy and a very important goal.
So where is that an institution who is teaching these things? Hardly.
He said that the monastery did not teach this. I don't know if you can generalize about all monasteries.
No, I don't say monastery. Well, I'm thinking that this is the way of training. Even a third class born, a fourth class born, to become a first class. This training should begin. There must be an institution. How to become peaceful? How to become truthful? How to become honest? How to become religious? How to become believer in God? Why not this institution? They have opened an institution. How to learn to deal with the hammer technology. But in the society, there is no first-class man on this basis. So who will guide? If there is no brain, then who will guide the hand or the leg?
So your particular plan is then to provide this kind of enlightenment, this kind of direction and education through the ascetical process in which your group is involved. Yes. We, of course, have made efforts along this line through our schools and through our religious communities that have been successful more or less depending on efforts given to it.
The second class man is also this guy. Who is the second class?
Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are qualities of work for the Kshatriyas, for the administrators.
This is second class. They are not first class, they are second class. First class is above them.
The Brahmin.
Yeah. Then second class. Second class also required.
Also requires training.
Yeah.
Yes.
Suppose if there is war. Yeah. So, first-class man, they're going to go to fight. Yes. They're not trained up. But the same class man is trained up. What is that quality?
Courage in battle.
Courage in battle. Now, we have got report that in Vietnam battles, yeah. What happened?
Somebody, whenever they fight, most of the soldiers run away.
No, no. His fourth class, he has been placed in the second class. So how will he do this?
We have a principle called that a man tends to rise to the level of his incompetence.
These are the defects of the society at the present moment. A fourth class, fifth class man is on the first class or second class. Why Nixon had to be dragged down? He's a third class man.
Third class man.
Yes.
That's rather high on the ladder, I'd say, you're actually.
So these mistakes have been. Abhyaparishu vyaparam zonaro kattumichyate. Sar mura handati kirat pati ma banaravat. One man's food is another man's poison.
Yes.
So one should not misplace what is unable to do.
Yes. Many of these expressions that you're reading sound very similar to what we call the wisdom literature of the Old Testament of our Bible, of Sirach and Ecclesiasticus and Ecclesiasticus. And also, of course, some of the sayings of Jesus are very closely related to what we're saying here. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added besides. That's the first class.
Yes.
He was constantly working towards the kingdom. Yes.
If there is
blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, and so on.
Set a first class man on the head of the society.
Yes.
Then everything will be done properly.
In the Mass today, Jesus said, you must be perfected as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
I was wondering if you had some plan, some thoughts in the way in which we could mutually cooperate.
Yeah, there is plan.
For the
now, suppose if I say that let us create some peaceful man, so who will disagree with it? I don't say everyone will be peaceful, but some of them can be turned up. Some of them can be turned up, courageous in battle.
Yes.
We have to select by practical psychology. What is the tendency? Similarly,
you would utilize practical psychology, yes, then in the selection,
yes,
of people for the various levels.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you see, in our training for priests, our training for religious women and men, rather, our people in this work would heartily agree in the need that there is for that training.
Really? That's like I've already said. But to keep your body in order, you require to keep the head, the hands, the belly, and the legs in order. Otherwise, there will be disorder. The present position of the whole human society is in disorder.
So you are talking not only about an intellectual fitness and development, but also a physical fitness of body to go along with that social body.
Physical fitness, this, to keep the brain in order, that is also physical.
Yes.
And the soldier trained up to fight, that is also physical.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot ask the high court judge to go and fight in the field. Both of them are physical. But you cannot ask the high court judge to go and fight in the front. His business is different, his business is different.
Each has a different role,
yes,
function in the society.
But that seeks to abandon the poor.
Father Kern's concern is always for the poor, for the downtrodden, for those who suffer, for those who are deprived.
Oh, that is imagination. That is never will be fulfilled. That is simple imagination. It will never, as I told you, that what we can do. There are so many poor men. We can estimate like this. The rich men and the middle class men and the poor class. These three orders are there everywhere.
So you see that as in nature, as
yes,
it's now coming from the Lord God Himself,
yes,
these three levels. You think that
now, when I did not come to your country, I thought in America everyone is rich.
Most everyone in another country thinks everyone in America is rich, yes.
But when I came,
there's only one class here, yes.
I saw there are so many bumps, I've got bumps.
Bumps, yes.
They're lying on the street.
Yeah.
But we think that.
Now, first of all, let me finish. So why in America they're lying on the street?
Hang on.
What can I do it?
A few are, but.
Not few, many.
No.
Maybe few, but why there should be at all?
I mean, in a rich country like this, why should anyone be on the street?
They cannot do anything. There will be a third class or poor class man which you even want to help them. They will not accept your help. That is another thing. These three phases I have seen in London, the British Empire, and the hippies, they are lying on the park, and the police kicking. Hey!
That's
past. I mean to say, nature's law, that a richer class, middle class, and poorer class.
I would suppose
that will continue.
Jesus said, the poor you have always with you. But at the same time, he said, we must go out and give what assistance we can as a Christian
but
community.
That means
feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the homeless.
A man is poor when he is in ignorance.
So you see that as a greater poverty is the ignorance rather than the physical poverty of not having enough food.
So, food problem can be solved simply by accepting. That is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita. And now, Anna Bhagavad Gita. how everyone can.
All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by the performance of sacrifice, and sacrifice is born of prescribed duties.
So, if you produce enough food grains, both the man and the animal will live very peacefully. Food grains. And I have seen in your country, in America, in Africa, in Australia, so much vacant land without producing food grains. Mm-hmm. The men are not engaged to produce food grains, but they are brought in Detroit to manufacture wheels, some motor cars.
For ambulances, huh? To bring the sick to the doctor.
So we have to correct this. First of all, produce food.
So you, if I understand you correctly, you are saying utilize intelligence to correct the problem.
Yes.
Produce more food rather than worry about the fact that it, so that the poor can have to eat, the animal can have to eat. So your approach then is not one of direct assistance to the person who is starving or suffering, but rather indirect, utilizing intelligence to produce food.
Yeah, and there will be no starving.
Yeah. There's no question, that's an intellectual approach.
Yeah.
I think our approach would be, we would be concerned with a person-to-person assistance. That is the way, our way, that Jesus has taught us. He said, you know, feed the hungry and harbor the harborless and visit the
prison. So if you have got enough food grains, just like in our headquarters in Bengal, we are giving food daily, at least 1,000 men.
So you are feeding the hungry at your headquarters.
Well,
then you do utilize then a direct approach as well. Yeah.
Now, our process is that everyone who is hungry, come and take your food.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So that,
but our program is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But the feeding the poor is automatically there. So if anyone comes to our temple, even here, anyone comes and take food.
Couldn't get in.
We do not say. Huh?
If they came here, if a poor person came here, they could not get in.
We have many people coming from the neighborhood here. They're coming regularly, even young children, everything. They're coming. We have groups, community groups are coming. Many.
Very good.
And we too, we have always responded to those who have a need for food or clothing or shelter. This comes to us every day too.
But that is, to make a person ask is not the right kind of society. Shouldn't the person be the first class citizen and therefore independent? And therefore seek his own, so that he could serve God by his own intelligence and his independence. For it is no virtue to be giving, it's more of a virtue to receive.
That he's suggesting that because we're requiring that a person come to us for food, that somehow this is interfering with his independence.
Of course, that independence. If he's hungry, he can come and take food.
Yes.
But it's wrong then. We say that we are not simply supplying food. Anyone who is coming is getting spiritual education. Not that it is a free hotel. No.
No.
No, it's not. We give them spiritual education. You come here, you take your shelter, take your food, and learn how to be a first class man. That is our goal. Don't be implicated in sinful activities. Be God's answers. And live here with us comfortably. Take your food. You have got this nice palace.
Yes. Yeah. Doctor, do you recruit the people to come?
Yes, we are inviting everyone to come. Yeah. We have no such distinction.
They're always recruiting, Father. They're always recruiting.
I have four young alcoholics I'd like to see.
No, just these boys and girls. I have not imported from India. They're recruited here. I came along. They're only students. I've got so many centers all over the world. They're simply recruited.
Your asceticism, your way of life, your training program, having its Eastern origins, has a great appeal, I think, to many young people.
It is not Eastern, Western. It is the life. Well, to become peaceful. Is it Eastern or Western? Peaceful is peaceful. But why do you mean Eastern?
The way in which, the method in which is stated, the liberal expression
can say
is Eastern.
Eastern is
this
cool.
Is not to say it is bad, it's good too. Right. There are many traditions that come.
I would say that if we look the Eastern, Western, then it becomes sectarian. But it is for all. If you teach a person to become peaceful, it is not the question of Eastern and Western. It is meant for everyone.
Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall see God.
Right. Well, why should you say that it is Eastern or Western?
Well, your methodology, much of your culture, your vocabulary,
Eastern countries or in India, these things were very much appreciated and developed. That is another thing.
Yes.
But the thing as it is neither Eastern nor Western.
Okay. I grant it that the principles that you are utilizing are general and universal. Granted.
May I ask you, Your Excellency, your own background? Were you born in India? Were you born in India?
Yes, I am Indian. I was born in Calcutta.
In Calcutta. And when you were there in Calcutta, did you receive the training?
Yes, fortunately, I was born in a very good family. So our family-wise training was there. Especially in India, every family is like that.
Yes.
Same that.
Yeah. And your own schooling then, in the local schools in Calcutta?
Yes. Uh-huh. Not in the school, but in my family.
In the family? Any formal...
In our family, my mother taught us, if there is one grain on the floor, who shall take it and keep it on the head? It is God sent.
Yes. Our mothers too, the same. Yes.
It is God sent.
Yes, sure.
The grain, food grain, it is actually given by God. We should not misuse it. This was the beginning of our training.
And then, were you at the university or the school?
Yes, Calcutta University.
Calcutta.
I was taught at the Scottish Churches College.
The Scottish Churches College.
Yes. All my professors were fathers and reverend. Our principal was... they were all fathers. Mr. Scott. Huh?
They were clergymen of the Church of Scotland.
Yes,
they
were
teachers.
My professor of philosophy was Dr. W.S. Alcuin. He was a very famous man in India. He became vice chancellor.
I see.
Yes.
Did you then begin, after you finished the university, did you begin your...
Yes.
I was
family man. But he didn't want me as family man. He is tender. How to become God family. So that was the... Maybe practically every Indian, at least in our time, they were trained. Had to become God's family in the family. Therefore, there is classification. The Brahman, the Kshatriya, the Vaishya. So, these four classes, first class man, that Brahman, his brain. Kshatriya, they used to rule over, taking instruction from the first class man. And then, the third grade, the productive class. So it is the third class.
So I can see that what this is probably a very important element that appeals to most of the young people come to you is this training that can be received in this particular way. I can also see too that somewhere I'd like to move into this area of religious experience.
I shall request that there is no question of Eastern Christian. Now people are intermingling. I think that we shall have institutions, especially in America, to train these first class, second class, third class, and the balance first class, who cannot take up any training, their first class. So, how they should be trained up, that indication is there. It is not the question of Eastern and Western.
Mm-hmm.
Become peaceful.
How would you proceed now?
Yes, that is
a program. I'd be interested in that.
That if I say that to be peaceful, this instruction is neither for exclusively for American or Indian. It is for everyone.
That's universal, peaceful.
Everyone.
That's a universal.
Yeah. What is another quality? Peaceful and then?
Self-control.
Self-control.
Yeah.
This is also not either for American or other. The American should not be self-controlled, only the Indian should be self-controlled. This is not a problem. Self-control, then
austerity.
Austerity. Tapasya. Austerity means that naturally I am inclined to do something. Take for example, generally people are addicted or inclined to eat meat or to drink naturally. Not for all, but a class. But if I train him, that although you like this, you should give up this. That is austerity. He feels some inconvenience in the beginning.
Austeritas is a Latin word that refers to strength. Be able to stand and to be sharp in deciding.
So, this is austerity. Man voluntarily accepting something which he does not like to give up. That is austerity.